Hey, welcome to Project Church. We're glad you're here today. If this is your first time with us, please come up and say hi after service and introduce yourself or fill out a connect card so we can connect with you following service today. But we are right in the middle of a brand new series that we kicked off last week. Carrie kicked it off for us with a great message. This message series we are calling Abundant Generosity. And I know what you're thinking, like when we say the word generosity, automatically our mind goes to money, right? And so last week, we didn't talk hardly at all about money, right? We changed about renewing our mind. We talked about changing our minds when it comes to the term generosity and how to become more generous, because it's not just an action. Generosity isn't just an action. It isn't just something we do. It's something that we become. It's something that we live. So last week, we learned all about having that abundance mindset, And so we want to stay away from that scarcity mindset that says that there's not enough for me and mine, so I need to hoard. Prime example that was given last week, what happened when the pandemic started? There was no toilet paper anywhere to be found, right? That was the scarcity mindset in us saying, okay, there's no toilet paper. If I find some, I'm going to buy it up. You better believe it, right? I may not have enough shelf space in my house, but I'm going to get all the toilet paper. And people were just hoarding toilet paper and medicine and all kinds of stuff. We saw that scarcity mindset hit instinctively as soon as we knew that there was a pandemic. So that's the scarcity mindset. What we want to learn to become is to have an abundance mindset. An abundance mindset that says God has created enough for everyone. That he's created enough for me and for my family. That I don't have to worry about where my next toilet paper roll will come from, because I believe God will provide the next toilet paper roll, right? Am I right? Y'all need to wake up. Wake up. That was funny. I don't care. That was funny. All right. So I love this quote that Carrie shared with us last week. It says, if we start with a heart of gratitude, then we will naturally adopt a mindset of abundance and begin to live a life of abundant generosity. When we adopt a heart of gratitude, love that concept. So if you missed last week, please do me a favor. Go online to theproject.church, not .com, theproject.church. You guys can get caught up on all of those messages that you missed up to this point. You can listen to past messages. There's a lot of great content on our website that you guys can look through, so make sure to visit that site. So today, I want to talk all about generous acts. Generous acts, not the book of Acts, but like what we actually do with our generosity. So last week was all about transforming our minds. This week, we're going to get a little practical and talk about what it actually means to have generous acts, to be generous. So this is crowd interaction. What does it mean to be generous? Anyone? Giving of your time and resources. Anybody else? What does it mean to be generous? I'm going to wait right here until someone else answers me. Helping others. Good. Good. Okay, so next question. What are some forms of generosity? What are forms of generosity? What can we do to be generous? What are some things, some practical things? Come on, let's get practical, folks. Anybody? Polite. What? Polite. Be polite. Good. Anyone else? Take the time to listen. Good. Someone else?
Don't be a jerk on the roundabout.
Don't be a jerk on the roundabout when school's happening. That's right. It's generosity. Being generous means yielding at the roundabouts. Is that right? Okay. Anyone else? Feed people. Good. Anyone else? Helping an elderly neighbor. Mowing someone's lawn, taking the trash out for somebody else, kids, washing the dishes when your parents don't even ask, kids, cleaning your rooms even when you're not asked, adults, playing with your children, Being generous, it's a mindset, it's a heart issue. So, there was one thing that nobody said, and I'm shocked that nobody said it. And it's a five-letter word that a lot of us hate to hear. And that word is money. Money. So I want to talk about money for just a minute, okay? I want to talk specifically and focus in on what about money it is that we see in Scripture. And specifically what I want to target is the idea of the tithe. The tithe. Now, if you've grown up in church, then you've probably heard the word tithe a whole lot, right? Like, you've heard messages on the tithe. You've heard, you've heard many messages on the tithe before the main message, right? You've heard this concept of this, the word tithe, your whole life. Can anybody tell me what the tithe means, like what it literally means? A tenth, yes. So a tithe is a tenth of everything. So the actual word tithe literally means a tenth. So if you grew up in church, you know kind of this concept of a tenth, right? And so this goes back a long, long time. The idea of giving a tenth of everything that you have back to God goes way, way back to the Old Testament. And there are actually over 800 scriptures dealing directly with money or generosity that we find in the Bible. 800 scriptures. So I want to take a look at a few of these today. Now, I'm not going to read 800 scriptures to you today. You're welcome. You're welcome. But I am going to read a few. All right, so Genesis 14, 18 through 20. Then, Melchizedek, how do you say that? What? That one. King of Salem brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High and blessed Abraham, saying, "Blessed be by Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and praise be to God High, who delivered your enemies into your hands." Then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. All right, so here it is, folks. Genesis. Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Okay? So let's go to Leviticus 27:30. It says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." Now, you can find a lot more scriptures in the Old Testament talking about the tithe. And in every scripture that you see, it talks about giving something back to God, something that belongs to God, whether it's crops or whether it's fruits or vegetables or meat or whatever it is. They're giving a tenth of everything back to God. Now, this is problematic, and this is where I might lose some of you, okay? Because this is kind of a controversial topic, okay? But I'm okay with dealing with a controversial topic because I want to talk about this. I want to get real with you guys, and there may be some of you who disagree with me when I say this, but that's okay because we can have a conversation about it. The problem is that when we deal with these Old Testament scriptures, we're dealing with crops and food that was stored for future consumption. We're dealing with food and products that were stored for future consumption by the people. Why was a tenth given back to the priest and back to the leaders of Israel? Well, for a couple of reasons. One, there were sacrifices made. But number two, it was stored for the future. If there was a famine, if there was a drought, they would have enough to survive. Also, problematic, the tenth, the tithe, is talked about in the Old Testament. It's a part of the Old Testament covenant. When Jesus came and he died and he sacrificed for us, he completed that covenant. He completed the covenant. So, let's look at some New Testament scripture to find out what Jesus has to say about giving, okay? Let's look at Matthew 23:23-24. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Yeah, Jesus, get them. "You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matter of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out the gnats, but you swallow a camel. I love this scripture. You strain out the gnats, but you swallow the camel, right? Have you ever strained anything, like you strain through, like you get beans, right, and you strain them before you cook them, you get all that gunk off of the dried beans, right, it helps them cook better. So they're straining out the gnats, but they're swallowing a camel. Like, I can just imagine those Pharisees, right, and they've got a camel, like, shoved in their mouth. It's kind of funny. Let's look at Mark 12, 41 through 44. It says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came up and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. She gave everything. So, with these two scriptures in mind, what do you think that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples by telling these two stories? Generosity, right? Generosity. You see, we look to the Old Testament to find out what we should give, right? We look to the Old Testament, and we're like, okay, well, it says that I should give a tenth. I need to give a tenth. I need to give a tenth of all of my money, right? I need to give a tenth. That's what I need. That's what I need to give. So we come to church, and we do that every single week, and we shell out a tenth of our paycheck every single week, right? And every single week, we put it in the offering. And every single week, we're like, man, this is hard, right? Like, this is hard. 10%. Man, that's hard. That's hard. And some of you in this room, if you grew up in church especially, like, you're fearful. Like, you're like, if I don't give 10%, oh, my goodness, like, something bad's going to happen to me, right? Like, if I don't give 10% of my money, something terrible is going to happen to me. Well, let me put you at ease today. Let me put you at ease. Being generous has nothing to do with a percentage. And we see it time and time and time again in the New Testament when Jesus is teaching on generosity, that he doesn't refer to a certain percentage, but he refers to being generous. Generous. See, God hasn't called us to just give 10% of our money. He's called us to be generous with the right attitude. You see, there are a lot of people who give 10% of their salaries to a certain church. And they're like, you know what? I'm being generous. But when they get home, they complain about having to give 10%. Or they complain about how the church is using that 10%, right? Because they feel like that's still their money. That's still my money. I want to control that, right? I want to control this. This is my money still. I'm just loaning it to you so you can go out and do ministry. That's the tithe. Now, I will say this. This is a disclaimer. You can give a tithe. You can give 10% and be generous. You can. It can happen. But what I'm saying is that a certain percentage isn't going to get you off the hook. Because it's not about a percentage, it's about our hearts. It's about our mindset. It's about having that abundance mindset versus that scarcity mindset. You see, time and time again, we see Jesus teaching that it's not about a percentage. Those Pharisees in that scripture, they gave a tenth of their spices, didn't they? They brought them to the temple to give. But what did he call them? Hypocrites. They were hypocrites, and they were tithing. And yet, a poor widow gives just a few cents. And what does he say about her? He says she's generous. So, now the question becomes, Matt, okay. So if I don't have to give 10%, what should I give? What should I give? Well, the easy answer is this. That's between you and God. That's not between you and I. That's not between you and the church. That's between you and God. Matt, where should I give? Once again, that's not between you and I. That's between you and God. You see, Carrie and I decided a long time ago that with our finances, what we wanted to do was we wanted to give what was slightly uncomfortable. Why slightly uncomfortable? Well, we've never had a lot of money. We've never been rich. But we decided a long time ago that we wanted to give a certain amount that was uncomfortable for us. Because if it's comfortable, if it's just like, you know, oh, well, here's a little bit of money, here's a five spot, right? That's going to get me by, right? And I'm not dissing $5, but I'm just saying for us personally, like, that would be comfortable for us if I just gave $5, right? Give $5. So, hey, you need something? Here's a dollar, right? Like, we didn't want to be comfortable any longer. We wanted to be uncomfortable because it's in that uncomfortableness that you'll find the blessings on the other side. It's in that uncomfortableness that you begin to see God work in that kingdom math, where the math doesn't make sense. Because when we started giving just a little bit more than what we were comfortable giving, at the end of the year, when I looked at our finances, I said, well, we should be X amount of dollars in the negative this year. It's the truth. We should be. But you know what? Every single time, month after month, when we should have been in the negative, we had money. We had food in our bellies. We had clothes. We had cars. We had a house. God was faithful every step of the way. Every step of the way. Why? Because it wasn't about us giving a certain percentage of our money. You know what? At a certain point in our life, 10% was comfortable for us. It was comfortable. We had to up it. We had to say, you know what? That's comfortable. I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to live a life that's comfortable. I want to live a life of generosity. Carrie and I started learning Spanish about a year ago, a year and a half. Maybe it's been longer than that. I don't actually know. You've got a 400-day streak on your Duolingo, so how long is that? A year and a few months, whatever. So we started learning Spanish, right? And so we were talking to one of our friends, and we're like, hey, how do you know when you're fluent in Spanish? Like, at what point do you go from being just, like, okay at speaking Spanish or, like, just, like, meh at speaking Spanish to know, like, I can have a real conversation with somebody in Spanish? Like, what's that, like, breaking point? Because I know there's got to be a breaking point, right? And she said, well, she spoke Spanish. She's like, when I was learning English, I realized that I was bilingual when I started having dreams and the people were speaking English. That's when I knew that I was bilingual. So I thought, I was like, that's an interesting concept. You know, you start having dreams in another language. That's kind of when you know that you're bilingual. That's cool. So how do we know we're being generous? Well, when you start dreaming about being generous, that's when you know that you've adopted an abundance mindset. When you start to daydream about the things that you can do for someone else rather than for yourself, that's when you know that you've adopted an abundance mindset. When you start thinking about leveraging your time, your money, and your resources in order to help someone else, that's when you know that you've adopted an abundance mindset. When you start thinking about how you can use that extra little bit of money that you earned on the weekend doing something fun that you enjoy to give it to someone else that's in need, that's when you know. That's when you know. You see, we've got to have the right heart. It's not about a percentage. It's not about just giving money. It's about having the right heart. You see, this, of course, is very unnatural. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Growing up in school, how many of you learned about the idea or the concept of survival of the fittest? Nature, survival of the fittest, right? So what happens in nature? You've got a deer, and you have a lion, right? What does the deer eat? The deer eats the grass, and then the lion eats the deer, right? And he's the king of the jungle, right? So we have this order, this thing that's supposed to happen, right? You see, humans are different. See, humans are the only creature in the planet that have the capacity to be generous, truly generous. You see, that's kind of what sets us apart from all the other creatures. And to go with this idea of abundance actually goes against the idea of survival of the fittest. Think about it for a minute. If we were living in nature and we were truly living as this survival of the fittest, and that was what we went off of, that was our primary target, was to be the fittest, to be at the top of the food chain, what would you look out for? You and your family. And that's it, right? Because it's about feeding me first and then my family to ensure that my lineage continues. So this is why when we look at the New Testament and we start reading about Jesus, this is what made the people so mad at Jesus about. You see, for so long, the idea or the concept had been the survival of the fittest. Read the Old Testament and tell me what mindset they are operating out of. Are they operating out of an abundance mindset? Or are they operating out of a spirit of generosity? What mindset do they have? Is it survival of the fittest? Yeah, it is. Read the Old Testament. Look at that. Are they looking out for other people? No. They're looking out for themselves and the best interest of their people. When Jesus comes, he completely shifts this idea and this concept on its head into a spirit of generosity and an abundance mindset. Take a look at these two scriptures with me and tell me if this is a natural statement or an unnatural statement. Luke 6:27. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Is that natural or unnatural? It's unnatural. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Natural or unnatural? Unnatural. Time and time and time again, we see Jesus making these big statements like this. And you have to understand, in his time, this was the most unnatural thing anybody in the world had ever said. This was controversial. He was a rebel in his time. Are these statements natural? No. Do they align with the way that we know that nature works? No. They do not. And yet, we as Christians, we as believers are called to be like him, aren't we? We're called to be more like Christ. We're called to be more unnatural. I want to teach you a Greek word today. The word is diakonoa. Say it, diakonoa. Diakonoa. It means serving or service. You see, the church doesn't exist to rule over anything. The church exists to humble themselves and to serve. And this was the concept that the early church lived by. When you're reading through the New Testament and you see the early church begin to start up and you see them beginning to meet in homes, and you read in Acts where it says that there wasn't a need among them because they gave everything that they had and they shared everything that they had. Think about being a non-believer in that time watching this group of people operate. It would have been confusing. It would have infuriated you that they were living this way. Why? Because they were adding to their numbers daily those that were saved. Well, why did that happen? Because they were living in a way that was appealing to those who were in need. Because they had the heart of generosity. This is why people hated the early church. This is why people persecuted Jesus, because he lived an unnatural life and he went against the grain. They couldn't understand him because he defied what was natural. You see, the early church was persecuted because they chose to serve the poor and the oppressed. They literally gave everything to those that were in need. Check this out. In John 13, and this won't be on the screen, but I'm just going to kind of summarize this story for you. We see Jesus, and he is actually washing the disciples' feet. Now, think about the time. Think about what was happening. We didn't have tennis shoes. We didn't have socks, right? So we had sandals, and these people are walking through the desert, and they're walking through dirt, and they're walking through mud, and their feet stink, right? They stink. So what did you do whenever you went to someone's house? Well, they had a wash basin that you could wash your feet. When you came into the house, you washed your feet. You cleaned up for supper. So it's like washing your hands. It's like you come in the house before you eat supper, you wash your hands. Back then, you came in. Before you ate supper, you washed your feet and your hands, right? So Jesus is, we see Jesus, and they come around, and there's the basin. He begins to wash his disciples' feet. Now, this is an act of humility. This is an act of service. This is an act saying that I am not greater than you, that I am equal with you. You are my people. We are humble together, right? Like, let's be a group together. The scripture before Jesus starts washing his feet, if you read it and you look closely at it, you actually see that Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And guess what he does next? Even though he knew that Judas was going to betray him, even though he knew exactly who it was that was going to turn him over, he humbles himself and he washes Judas's feet. He washes his feet. He literally loved his enemy. He loved him. Judas was going to betray him. And yet, Jesus washes his feet anyways. You see, this is diakonoa. That's what this concept means. The concept of diakonoa is sacrificially serving someone else. This is humility. This is generosity. This is grace. This is what we must strive for. We got to put our own ambitions and our own desires and our own needs to the side so that we can truly become the church that Christ has intended us to be. You see, this isn't about a percentage. This isn't about rules. This isn't about regulations. This is a mindset issue. And before we close out the message today, I just want you to understand this for a minute, okay? Me talking against a tenth or a certain percentage of your money doesn't benefit me in the least. It doesn't. If I wanted Project Church to really thrive and to really succeed, and I wanted a bigger building, and I wanted nicer speakers and better lighting, and I wanted all these things, you know, I could preach the 10th, and I could preach, man, let's bring our money in here, and let's get going, and let's raise money for this. But that's not who we are. We have to be generous people. We have to live diakonoa. We have to. Because we're not going to change someone else's mind by simply giving 10% to a church. We're going to change someone else's mind by sacrificially serving them. So what I'm saying today, yeah, it might be detrimental to me and to the church. I say me. I don't get a paycheck from the church. But to the church, I should say. But that's not what's important to me. What's important to me is that you understand generosity and that you understand the place that it comes from. Because it doesn't come from your pocketbook. It comes from your mind and from your heart. I'm going to leave you with this scripture. It's Matthew 6, 1 through 4. It says, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites in the synagogues and the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their own reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that you may be giving in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." You want to see a true reward for your generosity? Be humble. Be humble. Be humble. Don't announce it to everyone. You know, it's a fine balance. It's hard. It really is. It's difficult. Because you want to be generous. You want to help people out, right? You want to see those things happening. And a lot of times you're like, man, I want to post this on Facebook because it's a great story, right? Like, it's so cool. Like, the way that God works sometimes, you're like, man, this is really cool. I want to post about this on Facebook. But then a lot of times, like, I hear this story and I'm like, man, that was because I was being generous. And if I tell this story, man, am I really being humble about this? Because this story isn't for everyone to know. It was a cool story, yeah, but that's really between me and God and this individual. And there are times when you need to tell your testimony. There are. But going around and bragging about it, and man, I did this great thing, right? I gave this dude $100 and he paid his electric bill. Man, look at me. I'm just so awesome. Man, God's working through me. It's so great, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not a spirit of humility. Once again, it's not about rules. It's not about regulations. It's not about a percentage. It's about your heart. Making sure that your heart is in the right place. Carrie and I went to a missions trip in Guatemala, and I don't even know how long it's been now. I can't even remember what I had for lunch yesterday. But a while back, we went to Guatemala. And while we were there, there was one day, most of the time I was there, I was digging a ditch, which was a lot of fun. But there was one day that I actually got to go out with a medical missions team. And when I went out with the team, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm, like, terrified of medical issues. Like, I don't want to hear your story about how you broke that bone. Like, that's just not me. I can't deal with it. I'm a wimp, whatever. But I can't stand those stories. So I was like, hey, I can't be in the medical thing. Like, what can I do to help you guys out? And they're like, hey, why don't you stand outside when people come out afterwards? Why don't you pray for them? And I'm like, okay, like, what am I supposed to pray for? Like, am I going to get an interpreter? Like, yeah, okay, yeah, you'll get an interpreter. Okay, go pray for people. Okay. So I'm praying for people, and I'm like, number one, who am I to pray for these people? These people are awesome. Like, their faith is so strong, and I'm like, they should be praying for me. But anyways, I'm praying for them, and there was this elderly lady that I prayed for and our team prayed for, and after the prayer, she looks me in the eyes, and she says, "May God bless you more than you have blessed me today. May God bless you more than you have blessed me today." And I'm like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. Yeah, we gave her some medicine. We gave her a little bit of food. We prayed for her. But what did we actually do for her? You know, like what blessings did we actually give? And so my mind is racing. And I'm like, I get back to the place we were staying and I'm praying about it. I'm like, God, what does this mean? What does this mean? I don't understand. Like, help me to understand this. Like, yeah, okay, I spent some money on this trip. Maybe it's going to be a financial blessing, right? I'm going to get a financial blessing back. That's what it's going to be. No, that doesn't seem right, you know? And so I'm like, I'm racking my brain. I'm just like, what is it, God? What are you going to bless me with? Because I believe this woman's prayer. I believe you're going to bless me. But what is it that you're going to bless me with? And then it clicked. That trip was the moment that I realized what life was truly about. It was about having that abundance mindset. What I learned from that trip were there were people there that were living in a dumpster that were happier than I was living here in a house with a car, with all the food that I could possibly eat, obviously, and living this perfect, perfect American life, and I'm miserable. Why? Because I didn't have an abundance mindset. She did. In that moment, God blessed me so much more than what we did for her, because what we did for her was small. But God transformed my mind. He transformed my heart in that moment, on that trip, into something brand new. And I want you to know today that you can transform your mind too. You can transform your mind. You can transform your heart. And you can become more unnatural, just like Christ. And when you do, you're going to begin to see blessings beyond belief. So today I have a challenge for you. As the band comes back up and prepares to sing one more song, I've got a challenge for you. I want you to begin to think about what breaks your heart. What is it that breaks your heart? What is the one thing when you see it happening all around you, when you see injustice happening around you, what is that one thing that breaks your heart? What is the one thing that you can't stand to see? Is it animal cruelty? Is it? You can't stand to see hungry animals. You can't stand to see it. Hey, guess what? I have ways that you can serve an organization right here in Clarksville that deals with that very issue. You can serve them with your time. You can serve them with your finances. Does single moms who are pregnant, does that break your heart for them? That they're having to go through this pregnancy alone, that they're having to deal with issues that they don't even know how to deal with because they're so young that they don't even understand. Does that break your heart? Guess what? I have an organization right here in Clarksville, Arkansas, that you can serve with your time and with your finances, that you can pray for them. What is it? What is that thing that breaks your heart? What is it? Because I know of organizations that are right here in Clarksville that would love to partner with you. And when you partner with them, you can pray for them. You can give them money. You can give them your time. You can give them those things that they need to be successful. Because as a church, we don't want to start new projects that someone else is doing in the community that's fantastic. We don't want to. Why? Because there's someone else out there that's doing it that's amazing at what they do. What we want to do is we want to come alongside those people and support them. Support them with our time. Support them with our finances. Support them with our prayers. So I'm going to say a prayer. And then we're going to sing one more song. And then Carrie's going to lead us through a time of reflection. So dear Heavenly Father, I just love you and I thank you today that you've began this process of just changing our hearts, changing our minds, changing ourselves into a people who will become more generous, into a people, God, that cries out when they see injustice in this world, God, to a people who can adopt this mindset of generosity, this mindset of abundance. So God, I pray that you would just begin to transform us from the inside out. And God, as we sing this next song, I just pray that you would just help us to reflect on those areas of our heart where we're still holding on to those resources, where we're still holding on to those things that we need to let go of, God, where we're still holding on to those things, God, that we need to give over to you because we're being selfish, because we're being stingy with those things, God. I just pray today that each and every one of us will begin to think about those things that breaks our heart and begin to move in a new direction of generosity. In your name we pray. Amen.